All right. Well, come on in. Grab a seat. It's time for church. It's good to see everybody tonight. Turn to your neighbors and it's just wonderful to see you tonight. Let them know. It's wonderful to see all of you live streamers, wherever you're watching from, YouTube or Facebook or wherever. We're glad you're with us tonight. All right. So, couple quick announcements. First of all, obviously the kids are with us tonight, so make sure your little one or child is with you for praise and worship tonight. Secondly, it is youth hangout tonight, so 5th through 12th grade will follow Eric and Justice after worship, okay? And all the kids will be heading down with Judah tonight, so they can follow him, and he's excited about that. All right, amen. Of course, the announcement for tonight is, obviously, this weekend is Easter, so Friday night from 5 to 8 p.m. is a time of reflection here in the church, okay? And the time of reflection is we have stations of reflection. You can come anytime between 5 and 8. It's not a church service, but it is a time that you can come in and spend as much time as you want here during that time of reflection. And then certainly 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, we have our resurrection celebration service. And before church, starting at about 9:30-ish, there'll be a light breakfast for you if you want to come a little early. But I do want to say this. This is important. The Botkins campus and our campus are both doing a time of reflection and the celebration, but we also use the same graphic. So don't get our times mixed up. Their time of reflection is 4 to 8. Ours is 5 to 8. So don't come at 4 because you won't get in. And they're advertising 7 a.m. sunrise service on Sunday. We are not. So you want to come and hang out in the parking lot at 7 a.m., that's up to you. I will not be here, all right? But we do have church at 10 a.m. So make sure you invite somebody out to Easter on Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful time, and we're going to celebrate Jesus together, all right? So how about we stand up on our feet? Let's worship Jesus together tonight.
To life. Thank you. This is enough to know my God is love. And I know my God is love. And I know my God is love. And this is enough to know.
Give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in. Kids church, youth down for youth hangout. Everybody else that's still left, tithe and offering. If you have something to give, you can prep that. Offer envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out. And of course, we'll give everybody a second to get back up here. God is good, is he not? He's good. God is love, is he not? Listen, I know some of you guys have been through it. And I know some of you guys, life has not been easy. You've been dealt a hand that's maybe in a lot of ways just simply is not fair. Life can be that way. But yet, God is good. God is good because he is love. So there's never a moment, not a single moment of your life when you are not loved. And loved to the deepest part of who you are, because the one who loves you is the one who created you. And he knows you right down to the, in the way that nobody knows you. Nobody else knows you that way. He knows you better than yourself. But the love of God is always there. And I know some of you have actually felt like you've been shut out by the world and people, and you feel lonely. God loves you. And again, if you can grasp that understanding in your heart, it's got to get past your brain and get down in your heart. It will change your life. Because the Bible says that there is nothing, and I won't get this right, but Paul writes in Romans, neither height nor depth, right? Neither the present nor the future, neither the angels or the demons, that there is nothing that can separate you from that love. And it's the love, listen, that love is there for you while you were a sinner, while you were an enemy of God, but yet he still reaches out because he's love. And he is just, and he is good, and he will always do what is right in his wisdom. Amen? You believe that? So God is love, and I want you to grab hold of that in your heart tonight. And some of you maybe feel like you're unlovable because of things you have done, or because you just look at yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. God loves you in spite of your past. And the other part of it, you got to get over yourself. Let's not wallow around in that mess, because that's not true. Because what you see is what God has made. Yeah, we make a mess of it sometimes. I get it. I understand that. But yet, you see, God doesn't do things without purpose. You know that. Everything he does has a purpose. In his creation, everything he creates is in purpose. And if you believe that God created you, then he created you with a purpose. That sometimes you've got to, again, get over yourself and grab hold of it. That if God, the Bible says that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Think about that. He knew you before mom and dad got together. And then he still allowed it to happen anyways. And here you are. And God loves you enough to reach out to you while you were lost in your sin. God loves you to save you because he wants, listen, what is a side result of our salvation? It is eternity. Endless time. Boggles my mind when I think about it. God loves you enough to save you so you can be alive for the rest of eternity in proper relationship with who? Him. Think about that. If you were that big of a mess, why would he want to hang around you for the rest of eternity? You know what I mean? That's how great the love of God is. And he doesn't make excuse for our mess, but he sees past it enough to bring us through it and bring hope on the other side. Grasp it in your heart. You have to believe it. It's not arrogance. It's not arrogance to believe that God loves you and has purpose for you. It's not arrogant. But it does bring a sense of confidence. It does bring a sense of stability and assurance, right? Amen. Just grab hold of that. All right. That was not about offering, but let's take up our offering. All right, let's do that. Lord, we pray over our offering tonight. And as we give, I pray blessings on those who do give. But those that maybe can't, times are tough. It's just not there right now. I pray blessings upon them even all the more, Lord, that we are people, Lord, that are not selfish in what comes into our lives and increase, but Lord, you are teaching us the heart of a giver. We give to the church that feeds us, but also, Lord, in the things we come across in our lives, to, as you lead us by the Holy Spirit to have that heart of giving. And I thank you that you're growing that in us. Every time we give in the church, you're growing that in us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. If you want to, you can run it down to the baskets if you have something. A couple quick things. Thanks, Samara. A couple quick things is right when church is over tonight, if you're able-bodied, we're going to clear the sanctuary of the chairs so we can set up for the stations for Friday night. So if you want to help do that, Al right there is the guy that's going to head it up and tell us what to do and where to take them and all that business. And then secondly, this Sunday for our Easter service, it is a one big family. That means all the kids are with us for the service, which I love, and we do it every fifth Sunday, and that happens to be on Easter, but they would have been with us for Easter anyways. But having said that, we do have childcare for ages 3 and under, for the littlest ones. So if your child is 3 or under and you want them to have childcare, they will have that in the kids' church on Sunday. So having said that, I'm going to sit down tonight, amen, and I'm going to take a break, and we got Miss Tori bringing us the word tonight. So let's give her a hand tonight. She's going to come up and share for us tonight.
Hello. I just want to say that me being up here is proof of God's love, because I was a sinner. I was addicted. Like, to be standing here today is proof that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus if we allow him to change us. So I'm just going to pray before we get started. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be up here. I thank you for just your word going forth through me, Lord. I pray that it would be you and not me. And I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth will be pleasing in your eyes. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about faith today. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11, 12. We'll start in 12. So this is about the fig tree. The next day when they had come out from Bethany, this kind of picks up in the middle of the story, but he was hungry, Jesus was, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again," and his disciples heard it. So now we're going to go to 11:20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So Mark 11:24, I actually have a story about that that verse. Some of you know that we just recently moved. And when we first found out that we had to move, we were renting, and we had 30 days to move. And we were kind of in a panic, but we went looking for other rentals, and separately but together, while I was at work and my husband was at work, I was always constantly looking for rentals. And I just felt in my spirit God tell me that to stop looking for rentals, which is crazy because we needed a place to live. But I went home that evening, and Eric got home, and God had told him the same thing. So we were like, okay, we're not going to look for rentals. And so we came to the conclusion that we weren't going to look for rentals, and just praying to God, like, what is it that you have for us? What do you want us to do? And the next day after, we went to Kenton Church because we love Pastor Phil there and we like to visit him sometimes. They actually had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker prophesied over Eric and I that God had a home for us and that it was going to be a beacon for many. And this Mark 11:24 was placed on our hearts to stand on. And so after we got that word, I went to work the next day, and we had, like, everybody was looking for rentals for us at that point. I got a text message that said, we found this rental for you. It's less than what you're paying now, and it's a bigger house than what you're in now. And immediately I was like, this is a test. This is a test of my faith. And I wanted to say, okay, let's go check it out, you know, give it, but I felt in my spirit, just say no. So I turned it down, which was crazy. I went back and told my husband, this is a text message I got. I feel crazy. Am I crazy? And he's like, no, God said it. We have to stand on it. So we had to exercise our faith, and we were believing God that he had a house for us. We called different places looking for a way to finance a home. Everybody kept telling us no. Every door was shut. It wasn't happening. And it was a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie. There were days that our faith was strong, and then there were days that our faith was weak. And the 31st came of October, and we still didn't have a place. And by the grace of God, the guy that we rent from extended our stay, told us that we could, you know, as long as we paid him, we could stay longer. So we were believing God for November, and we were just trusting him that you said it, Lord, we're going to stand on it, we believe it. And we've never exercised our faith like this. So we've never been in a situation where something so huge was supposed to happen. But we knew that God said it. And November came to the end, and we still didn't have a place. And we were, you know, trying to find all these ways that we can get money to buy a house. And everybody told us either get a co-signer or wait a couple years and come back. And we were like, we don't have a couple years. So we were just, you know, trusting God through it all. And it was a test. It really was. The enemy will lie to you and tell you, like, are you sure you heard God right? And I even questioned myself, like, are we sure that he said to stop looking for rentals? Because that seems easier right now than believing that somehow this miracle was going to happen. So one day I was like, I'm gonna really just dig into my faith. And I sent a mass text out to my family that lives in Florida. And I said, listen, this is our situation. I know God's going to do something, so I'm just getting all of you involved so that when he does, you'll have a front seat to it. And so December came, and we're still, you know, trying to figure out and trusting God. And this Mark 11:24, we read it daily. We wrote it. We had a house picked out, and we wrote it on the little flyer that they give you for the house. And we were just believing him, like, this is going to happen because you said it was. And we knew it was going to take a miracle. So we were just excited to see what was going to happen. I got a text message, and it said, can we meet with you? We would like to know how you feel about us buying a house and doing it as a land contract. And I almost passed out. And I couldn't even read it because, you know, I get emotional. So I just showed it to my husband, and he's like, no way. But we closed on our house January 5th. He did what he said that he was going to do. So I'm just here to tell you that if God told you something, if he promised you something, whether it's for your life or for your kids, whatever it is, stand on it. Stand on it. Don't let the enemy try to steal it from you. Because he will. Because it takes us, our active faith, for God's promises to come to pass in our lives. We have to, like, he gives us promises, right? The Bible's full of promises. He gives them to us, but in our reach. Like, we have to step out to get them. So that's my story. Let's go to Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So he's telling us that we need to have active faith. And I want to read Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it's all so good. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Isn't that crazy? Like, he went out. He just stepped out. He had no idea where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, in him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had came out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his holy begotten son, his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. In all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We get to partake in that same faith. That same faith is what God wants us to step into. The promises of God, every promise in the Bible, is waiting on your faith. He will do it. He said it, he will do it. He's just waiting for you to believe it. So, do you think Noah felt insecure about building the ark when he was asked to? I think that he probably would have been like, are you sure me? You want me? Do you think Sarah thought to herself, did I hear God right when God told her she would conceive at an old age? She actually laughed. Remember when she heard it? She laughed. What about Moses when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin? That would have been easier. He was already in there, right? It would have been easier just to live in there. I'm sure the enemy tried to distract them from the promises of God, because he does it to us, and he has no new tactics. So if he does it to us, he did it to them. He instills fear and insecurities into our circumstances and theirs, but they stepped out in faith anyways, and look what was accomplished by their obedience. We benefit from it. They trusted God that if he called them to it, that he would equip them for it. The one thing that keeps us from stepping out in faith is fear. And that's what the enemy uses every time. But God's perfect love casts out fear. And Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And some of these that we just read about, they went through the valleys, the shadows of death. They suffered for their faith. Don't let the enemy distract you from what God has placed in your heart. His promises are yes and amen. God is faithful, and because he is faithful, we can have active faith. We trust his word. If he said it, don't believe the lies of the enemy. You know when it's a word from God. Don't let the enemy try to take that from you, because he's really good at it. He's very cunning, and he causes doubt. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10. I guess I should have marked out where I was going. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This kind of goes along with what Pastor Kylan said about he knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And he has plans for you, but we have the choice. Are we going to accept his plans for us, even when it gets tough, or are we going to take the easy road? When you step out in faith, you will see that it always produces benefit and blessing from God. Priscilla Shire, we are doing a Bible study of hers, and she talks about when you step out in faith, that shield of faith that is part of the armor of God, it comes up and it protects you from every fiery dart of the enemy. Let's go to James 1. Read 2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, well, we're not going to read that before. But, sorry. So, faith produces patience. And you will be complete, lacking nothing. Like, you think that you're insecure. When I got asked to come up here and talk, every insecurity that I've ever had, the enemy tried to use on me. What you have to say is not significant. Nobody wants to listen to you. Are you kidding? Don't you know who you are? Yeah. But stepping out in faith, you lack nothing. That's true. That's the God that we serve. So, what is God asking you to do? Has God, I know there's things that people are praying for that they haven't seen come to pass yet. Are you going to believe the lies of the enemy, or are you going to believe the truth of what God has said for your kids who may be the prodigal son? Titus tells us to be kind and love one another because we were once disobedient, just like that. Are you going to stand in faith for your marriage when it's tough? Are you going to stand in faith for your kids when it seems like they've gone crazy? Are you going to stand in faith for anything that God's called, said to you, or called you to do? There's callings and purposes that each one of us have on our lives. Are we going to step out in faith, or are we going to be crippled by fear? So, I thought I dropped something. The last thing that I wanted to say is, I gotta get my notes. Okay. Anyways, the last thing that I wanted to say, I wanted to talk about the prodigal son. Because if some of you, if you aren't, haven't accepted Jesus, maybe you don't understand faith or even know where to start. And I just want to tell you that because salvation hinges on our faith, we have to believe that Jesus went to the cross to forgive us of our sins. He bore our punishment so that we could be cleansed and spend eternity with him. So if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, maybe because the enemy is lying to you and telling you that you're too far gone or that you could never be forgiven for what you've done, I just want to read to you the prodigal son. So it is Luke 15. And I'm not sure what scripture it starts in because I have it on a printout. 15:13-12. Maybe it's 11. 11. 15:11. All right. So Jesus told this amazing story that shows us that no matter what we've done in life, at any point you can turn to him and start again. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything to eat. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found.' And the party began." So the son was welcomed home and celebrated by his father. The father was totally overcome by love for his son that he threw a party. That's God. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter. He took it to the cross for us so that we could be forgiven. He gave him the robe, which symbolizes the son was in right standing again with the father in spite of all of his bad decisions. He knew that he wasn't worthy. He just wanted to go back and be a hired servant so that he could eat. He knew he wasn't worthy. But God says we are worthy. And we're actually not worthy, but God says that we are worthy. So he gave him the robe, which was a symbol of right standing again, that he was a son. He wasn't just going to be hired help. The ring would have made the father's mark on official documents, the equivalent of if your dad gave you a credit card with no limit. The sandals symbolized the son still had the rights entitled to him as a son. The only people allowed to wear shoes in the house in those days were the family. So he welcomed him back. He didn't just welcome him back in the state that he was in. He restored him back to an heir of his. Even though he squandered all the money, he squandered it all. He still entitled him to all of it. He gave him all of it. To give somebody, I just think about this, if I had a credit card with no limit, I don't think I could be trusted with that. But he trusted his son with that even after he went off in wild living. And he wasn't mad. Actually, the other brother got mad that all this was happening, but he was just glad that his son came back. And that's the God that we serve, because we've all been lost in our sin. We've all turned our back and squandered the free gift that we've been given. But you're never too far gone. Call on him. Ask him to forgive you. And he runs to you. He will run to you with open arms. And he will give you the best robe in the house. And he will give you the ring. And he will give you the sandals that restore you back to the heir that you were entitled to be, the very reason that he went to the cross for us, so that we could be made right in his eyes. There's nothing that you can do that separates you from the love of God. And trust me, if there was, I would have done it. There's not. He loves us so much. So I just encourage you, if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, do it today. Do it today. It's never too late. Okay, that's it.
So don't go nowhere. I'm going to have you stay there. So the prodigal son comes home because he had to have some level of faith that the father would receive him. Our faith is born in response to love of God. He's the author of our faith. Now, if that's you, and you've been squandering what the Lord has given you, and you need to come back and allow him to restore you. What I'm going to do is when we're done, I want you to come down and I'm going to have Tori pray with you. But jump back in front of that. How many of you right now feel like in some area for something your faith is being tested? Let me see. Anybody? Uh-huh. How about we all stand up? We're going to pray about that. Okay? And I'm going to have Tori pray about that. This was her word tonight. And then when she is done praying, again, a couple things. We're going to clean up the chairs and take care of some things for Friday. Good Friday, 5 to 8, time of reflection. But when she's done praying about the time that you're in testing of faith and whatever's going on in your life, if you are feel like you're the prodigal and you need to come back, come on down and she'll pray with you.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you that the testing of our faith produces patience, and I pray for strength in every single person that is being tested in their faith, Lord. I pray that your strength be on them, and I just plead the blood of Jesus over them, and I pray that you silence the lies of the enemy, and that they would stand firm on your word. Father, give them a word to stand on, that they can stand strong and not be tossed to and fro, Lord, that to know that, to trust that if you said it, you will do it. And I just thank you for it, Father, that we don't go through the testing of our faith for no reason, that it always produces blessing in our lives and the people's lives around us. And I thank you for that, Father. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So here's the thing. Whatever you're being tested in your faith in, grab hold. Do not let go. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Did God really say, can this really happen? Those kind of things. Don't let him sway you from what God has said. Grab hold. Don't let go. And then at some point, you're going to have a testimony, just like Tori's testimony, about their health. Amen? You believe that? All right, so again, you feel you need to come back to Jesus, come down, let Tori pray with you. If not, we'll see you Sunday for Easter, but Good Friday in the meantime. Be here for that. It'll be a good time. Have a blessed time as you go, and we'll see you this weekend.